League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's an F, yeah, Friday here at the big show. Everybody's present and accounted for. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, where we are going to take you up to 4 p.m., hopefully entertain you, and then turn it over to the Blitz as they take you into your weekend. Barry out yesterday, and it was Harlingen, right?
Yes, it was Harlingen. I actually drove to Brownsville. That's where our hotel was.
Oh, you had a hotel?
Yeah, we didn't use it.
Why?
We literally drove. So, first of all, I picked Andy Huggins up.
Yep.
At 11:10, and he lives near Dunleavy, and like.
So this was day up. You're driving day up.
This was yesterday. Yeah, I picked him up at 11:10. I had to drop my cat off. She's not doing well. We might lose her in a week.
Literally, prayers to your cats.
Yeah, and so I had the whole vet thing going on in the morning, but I picked him up at 11:10. Now it's a five and a half hour drive to get to like Harlingen, McAllen, to get to the valley, and it took us 7.5 hours to get there because of different things. At one point, there was a fatality accident on 59 South, so it was shut down. We sat for 40 minutes on the road, just sitting there. And then we had to cut, this was before Victoria, so then we had to cut through, and get, which was like 30 minutes out of the way, and then to circle around. But it was just a nightmare. So we finally make it in on that after that 7.5 hour drive. We basically have 30 minutes to get ready, get to the venue. We do the show, and then we're like, the show's done early. Now, I was like, if we don't get done before 10 o'clock, I don't want to drive back. But if we could get done by 10 o'clock, I want to drive back because our cat is, you know, has cancer and it's not going well. I wanted to be there for my wife, so I was like, we'll just drive back. We got done at 9:15. Like, we were done, but with the whole show at 9:15. And we drove back, and it was a 5.5 hour drive. So I literally drove to Mexico and back yesterday. Got in at about 3:30.
Should have let me know. I'd have hooked you up for a G League game. You could have stayed and watched the Vipers.
Yeah. So got in at 3:30, and of course the cat is not doing well, so I didn't really get much sleep. But what was crazy is last night, with all the stuff, like we passed a fire or a field that was on fire, like somebody's crop. And I don't know if this was like a controlled burn,
right.
Which I know they do sometimes, or if it was just on fire. But it was this huge, so I'm like, wow, this is weird. And then we almost got hit by an 18-wheeler. A bucket fell off the back of a truck and almost hit my truck. It was just one thing after another. And then on the way home, I got pulled over. After all that was going down there, on the way back, and I think it was in Refugio.
I'm sorry, where?
Refugio.
Never heard of it.
I'm doing, now get this, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 12:30.
I was going to say, how late? If you're in rural Texas, what the hell are they doing?
It's 12:30 in the morning. I'm the only car on the road. I have the cruise control. The speed limit is 75. I have the cruise set to 80. So I am not going. I'm going 80 in a 75, and I passed them. And I've passed three cops already doing 80 in a 75. Nothing. And I passed this cop, and I don't see the lights going at first. And I'm like, okay. And then I kind of noticed, there's a car I didn't see behind me. So I guess when they took off, they didn't turn their lights on right away. And then the lights went off, and I was like, damn. Like, really?
For what did five I do? Over? Because you showed them up.
So then, she comes to the, and Andy was asleep. I mean, you know, he's 6, 7 years old. He's, yeah. he takes, he's past his bedtime. It was past 9 o'clock. He was tired. So she goes to his side of the thing and she said, where are you guys going? You know, you were doing 80 and a 75. And I wanted to be like, yeah, I know. Why? What are we doing here? But so she goes, where are you headed? Or where are you coming from and where are you headed? And I said, well, we're comedians from Houston. We drove down to Harlingen for a gig and we're driving back to Houston tonight. She goes, all in one night? I said, yeah. And she goes, so are you going to tell me a joke to get out of this ticket? I was like, if it works, I will. And then she started laughing. She goes, let me run your license and see. And she went back and she came back. She goes, all right, your license is clean. I gave you a warning. Here you go. I was like, well, then would you stop?
She's just looking for something. She's hoping you had something illegal in your car or something like that. That's all that is.
That's what Andy said. He goes, she was just bored.
Well, the other thing is, if you show them up, because I had the exact same thing happen.
Oh, I would never
happen.
Do that.
Well, but their idea of being shown up is you passed them. Like,
She was sitting still. She was sitting like an edit.
I did it where
she was sitting
passed,
with the radar.
Same as you. I was going five over and I passed a cop. We were like going side by side and then I just ended up going past
him.
Oh,
I hate that. Isn't
and
that the
all
worst?
Of a sudden, within like 90 seconds, he pulls me over. I get to the feeder road and I go, I was going like less than five over. He goes, You don't ever pass me up. And you can't argue with him because then, you know, you're still in limbo. Are you going to get the ticket? Or are you going to get a warning? And I'm sitting there just clenching the side thing the side thing on the door going, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you don't worry about what I'm doing. You don't ever pass me. And I was just like, okay, sir, let me.
That's
know.
The weirdest. You can always tell when there's a cop on like the Hardy Toll Road when there's a constable because you'll be flying doing 80 or 85 or whatever. And you'll look ahead and there's a line of traffic that you can see that's all. There's one car in front. And then it's just three deep in all three lanes. And you're like, oh, there's a cop up there. Because no one wants to pass a cop on the freeway. Except my wife. She does not care. I'm like, you're an idiot. She'll be like, well, I don't care. Get out of the way. I'm like, oh, no. They have guns and they'll arrest you. She's like, well, then they can just get me a ticket. She'll pass a cop. She does not care. And then gets sassy if she gets pulled over. What? Like, ma'am, I was going the speed limit and you passed me. You're speeding. Well, I mean, I wasn't speeding that bad. Okay, ma'am. You know what? I'm like, babe, don't do that with
me
in the car.
Your wife sound a little bit more like Maude or like one of the-
She's sassy though. She like I don't and that's of all things to be sassy about, not with a cop.
No. And you're like the last time I can think the same thing. Lisa was doing that thing for the five past presidents when they were raising money for Harvey at A&M. And she's driving back, same thing. She's only going like seven over and she gets pulled over and she's like, okay, this is one where I got all my makeup on still. I'm good to go. And she gets the female cop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're done.
Yep.
Toast. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because they're bored. You're right. But if you say anything at that point, you're getting
well, that's what Andy said. He goes, you know, Barry, I'll do anything for a laugh almost. I mean, I love being a comedian. But there's certain places, because when you're coming up from the valley, you have to go through a checkpoint. You have to go through a Border Patrol checkpoint. And so you pass
on this side?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like an hour north. And you pass through like these x-ray machines and then they have drug sniffing dogs that circle your car. And then somebody, you pull up to this thing and I go through there every time, but every time I'm nervous but fortunately every time I've gone to the valley, it's been with Andy Huggins and he doesn't smoke weed. So I don't have to worry about it.
I thought you were going to say you got a security guy built in.
No, but if you go with like another comic, they may have weed on them and then the dog smells it. And now your whole car would get ripped apart because this a-hole wanted to bring, you know.
Yeah.
Bring a Jay with him. That would be you, right? See, we're never going to the valley together. But so I don't really get nervous anymore because I've done it three or four times now. But Andy was like, man, I don't have the nerve to make a joke at the Border Patrol or at the airport. And then when we got pulled over, he goes, you know, I don't have the nerve to do it, but I really wanted to be like, hey, I'm trying to sleep here. This better be good. I was like, don't do it.
Yeah, because that's the kind of thing that it's late for them too. And then they get ticked off. And then the difference between a warning and a, like, what is it, $200, $250 ticket?
Yeah. And then I got to go back there if I want to go to court with it. And oh, no.
Lisa's was on Grand Parkway, like, closer to town, but she still went to court and then did the defensive driving at home. And then they eliminated the ticket part of it for your record, but she had to pay $150 still.
Yeah. It's, oh, yeah.
Because it accumulates after the defensive driving course, the ticket, the court fees.
The court
it still
costs.
Accumulates to about $130 to $150.
The advantage is it doesn't go into your record.
But if she showed up from the get-go at the court, if the officer doesn't show, she can get all of it erased, right?
Yeah, but yeah, you still have to pay.
If she passed, it's definitely not going on a record. As long as she brought back the certificate that she showed that she actually passed the court, passed the test and brought it back to court, it's not going to be on a record.
Yeah, but she still had to pay all that money, though. And I was just like, oh, boy.
Yeah, they'll get you the court costs and everything.
I've told you guys, by the way, and I don't know if Nick, if you've ever been down there. I've never been down there, but that border, and I don't know how many people like to go back and forth, but our players used to like to go back and forth, and they warned them not to do it. And one that will remain nameless did it anyway. And not only did he get robbed, they said basically, this is the amount of money, this can save you, this can do this, this can do that. And if you don't, you'll never see the other side, your hotel, your team again.
Yep.
And it scares the living daylights out of you to where he gave them everything. And then they're like, well, you don't have an idea, but good luck getting back. And our team guys had to go and try and talk their way, getting him back into the country and everything. I was like, it's not that important to get a deal.
Oh, Stevie Francis.
No. Good try, though.
That would have been my first guess.
Who's the comedian of the week?
Yeah, comedian of the week is Alan Adams. I actually have a show with Alan this Sunday at the Houston Improv. But he's one of those guys, you know, I've done a lot of the Houston area legends, and I wanted to start featuring, like, we've had Bryson Brown and a couple of other local comedians that really haven't broke yet, but are really good comics that I want people to know about. And Alan is one of them. So we'll have a clip and some information for Alan coming up after the break.
Good deal. There you go. Charlie Polillo at 1:30 as we continue to roll on as well. So stay tuned. It's another good edition of The Usual Suspects on an F Yeah Friday. If you don't get it, you get F you, but that's fine. We'll continue to roll on. It's The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I found out having a kid, I'm not that likable either. The other night I told my son I loved him. He said, I think we should just be friends. He gave me a good night bro hug. I don't know. It was awkward. My son, he's like super scared of his room right now to sleep in it. The other night he came in our room and crawled in bed to sleep. In the middle of the night, he starts kicking me. I'm like, you know what? The heck with this. I'm going to go sleep in his room by myself so I can get some sleep. Yeah, but guess what, guys? He's right. His room is super scary, all right? Like, yeah, the nightlight's making some weird shadow on the wall. I promise y'all, the closet door just starts creaking open by itself. I'm like, I don't know what you are in there, but I'm going to go ahead and grab my son. I think you're looking for him, so... go ahead and discuss whatever y'all need to. I probably shouldn't have gotten those Ouija board bed sheets.
It's good stuff. That's our featured comedian on an FEF Friday. F is for funny, Alan Adams. And Barry, you've got some backstory on Mr. Adams.
Yeah, Alan is a guy who, when I was coming up, and well, I mean, I'm still coming up, but he's one of those guys that kind of took me under his wing. And he, because as far as joke writing goes, just pure sitting down and writing a setup and a punchline, Alan is one of the best in the city at writing jokes. In fact, he was so good at one point, he moved to LA, and he won't tell anyone who, because that's just a thing in the business. If you end up being a writer for another comedian that's like really famous, you usually don't tell people because you don't want to give it away that, oh, this guy doesn't write his own material. It's really someone else. So Alan actually moved to L.A. for a while and just was paid by a top-named comedian to just follow him around all day. And when stuff would happen, he would write jokes about what was going on so that the guy was there and then Alan could write the jokes about it. So he experienced it, but that way the joke bit more. And they would just sit down every morning and go over stuff that he wanted to have jokes on, and Alan would write jokes for him. So a prolific joke writer, but great dude, really funny. He's got a show called Couples Therapy this weekend, which is really fun. I've done it before.
So he's still alive.
He is definitely still alive.
That's a good sign. I know that.
Yeah, he's still alive. In fact, he toured with he's featured for Patrice O'Neal before, which was a huge name. He's passed away. But then he toured with Bob Saget for a while. He features for Godfrey all the time, which is a really popular dude right now. Yeah. So But Couples Therapy is a cool show because it's at the Houston Improv. It's Sunday. And what we do is there's like four or five of us that go up and do a short set of about 10 minutes. And then there's a panel.
Oh, yeah.
And that panel is where we answer like relationship advice or sex questions. I might just take Beth's book and just read from it.
You've talked about it before. You've done that before, right?
Yeah. It's usually like once a month. And I'm usually, more often than not, I'm on the show and not off of it. But I haven't, our schedule hasn't hooked up lately. But yeah, it's this Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you guys should check it out if you have nothing to do on a Sunday.
So there you go. Our comedian of the day, Alan Adams. We'll have two more clips, 2:15, 3:15. We'll get those in. Charlie Palillo at 1:30 as well. Question on that.
Uh-huh.
So if you're writing jokes for a comedian, it's an unwritten rule. You don't say anything.
Correct.
But if you're writing for, say, Saturday Night Live or a show, isn't that something? Because that's selling your wares. That's like a resume builder.
Yes.
So you talk about that.
Yeah. You can talk. Well, so there's a guy in town named Tyshawn Shannon, who was one of the most tenured writers for Saturday Night Live. And he spent a ton of time. Like, some of your favorite skits from Saturday Night Live, he wrote. And he's the guy that's in town that's just a local stand-up comedian that just broke out and landed the gig. But yeah, he's well-known. And that's okay. If you write for a sitcom or a show, or like if you wrote for The Daily Show or Chelsea Lately or any of these things,
right,
then absolutely you put that on your resume. But if I'm ghostwriting for... Steve Ranazzisi. He's a nationally touring comic. If I was ghostwriting for him, because he talks a lot about marriage and kids, and so I wouldn't say anything. I would just be a writer.
I know there's writers on that comedy roast show.
Roast Battle? Yeah.
Roast Battle. Because I remember when Ludacris got really upset at one of the writers for writing those jokes about Paul Walker, and he was like not having it.
Yep.
But there's writers on that show too.
Yeah, and those will get credit. Like Andy Huggins wrote for the Oscars. People don't know that. Yeah, he wrote for Oscars. He's wrote for some stuff for Jay Leno.
They pay you a little extra if they want you to keep your lip tight, right?
Yeah. You make a good chunk of money as a ghost. I guess it's called ghostwriting, really, okay, where you're writing the jokes and they're doing them. But you got to be really good because it's rare. Because I thought when I first started, I thought, well, you know, I've never been on stage, but I'm so funny. So poor John Westling, he was such a nice guy. I was like, hey man, if I don't want to do comedy, I just want to write jokes for you. Will you buy them? He was like, that's how it works. I had no idea. I look back now, and that's so insulting. Because it's like, yeah, no, I can write my own jokes, idiot. Why would I pay you to write mine? But when you first start, you just don't know.
It seems really lazy. If you got a guy that's made it, but he doesn't want to write his own jokes, and he wants someone to follow him around all day and write for him?
Well, that could be it. But then also, some of these guys are really busy. And also, you just kind of run out of ideas, and you want a different perspective on stuff. So... When you're really high level, I could see why you would have a writer at least helping you craft a special or
nothing
an hour.
Else like a sounding board, new ideas where you can kick it around.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, we don't have the shortest wait times. We have quality callers.
We have the longest wait times in the business.
Let's hope, and we'll find out real quick if we hear hi-o. Is this Jerry?
Hey-o.
Thank you.
I thought you said you weren't doing it anymore, Jerry. You can't help it, huh?
I know. I think I'm definitely going to go back to the come on. I like that one too.
You're addicted to hey-o, right?
What's that?
I said you're addicted to it. You can't stop doing it. I get it.
Addicted to this show. I'm jonesing over the weekend.
I like it.
Start scratching myself.
That's good. That's really
so,
good.
So my wife was on the Fort Bend Toll Road, and this was like right when she was like a week before her due date, and so she's flying to the med center for a checkup, and the guy pulls her over, and so she's like, oh, I'm gonna pretend I'm going to labor. So she's like, guy comes over and she's like, I'm in labor pains, I'm trying to get to the med center, da da da, thinking like, he's gonna let her off, whatever. He goes, oh, don't worry, this will just take a second.
That's dirty.
10 seconds. What? He just printed out no armed escort to the med center. He's like,
no.
Yeah, just don't worry. Yep.
Thank you,
constables of Fort Bend, you guys.
Thank you, Officer
brutal.
Hates Kids. Thank you so much, Officer Hates Kids and Women.
You know what the thing is, like,
freedom.
When your wife doesn't work, and then when she calls you, and the first thing she says is, promise you won't be mad.
Oh, God.
It's always just a question of, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah,
you know what I'm
no doubt.
But, Jerry, when you start telling the story, I'm thinking you're getting a police escort to the med center so that they can, and then you'll have to just say, oh, it was false alarm. But instead, he dings her with the ticket quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awful.
He printed that. He pulled out, like, he had what was that?
Those handheld machines?
Jetsons. He had, like, a little printer. Came right out of his shoulder. He's like, here you go. Have
what?
A good one.
Like
talk to you soon.
Like, when the line at Chick-fil-A gets real long, so they put someone out there, and they've got that little handheld
iPad
in there.
Or whatever.
What?
I'd go into court, and even if she had the baby, I'd have a pillow underneath to make it used to, and just have the judge go, "You're an a-hole." If the cop showed,
that's horrible.
She's like, "Don't worry, I won't be naming him after you."
That is a great line. Goes, good for her.
He was like, I mean, she's from Queens. I mean, you know, she got that.
Oh yeah,
Hispanic. She got the 1-2 punch.
Now, but, is she Hispanic or is she Puerto Rican?
Yeah, man, they don't play over there.
Is she Puerto Rican?
No, she's from El Salvador.
Oh, okay.
Why are you trying to single out the Puerto Ricans?
Because Puerto Ricans are crazy, bro.
A deeper rage.
Right, Jerry? Jerry's from New York. You know Puerto Ricans are crazy.
Oh, Puerto Ricans are crazy.
Yes.
Do you remember Seinfeld?
Told you.
The Puerto Rican Day Parade?
Told you. I know Puerto Ricans. Yes. Yes.
Who's pegging the armoire? You got the problem? Because if you have a problem, I can give you a problem. Remember that guy?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Those guys were the scariest ever.
Hell, yeah. That's true. Appreciate the call,
Jerry. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, man. Robert and Tomball said, "Dude, this morning I was going 55 down the Grand Parkway for miles just to avoid passing a cop. Just this morning.
Grand Parkway's gotten really bad."
Yeah, because it used to be the best spot to speed. I used to go 100 on Grand Parkway all the time.
I know you go 100 anyway.
I know.
No,
I've,
not now.
I know I've bitched about this on this show like several times, but I'll never stop bitching about it until it changes. Why is it that the only place I ever see cops in this city is on the toll roads?
Yeah.
They're never on the loop. They're just never on 45.
You're absolutely right.
The place where everybody is paying to use it, that's where they're at. Kiss my ass, man. I want to see somebody get pulled over on 45. This is ridiculous.
You're absolutely right, because whenever I've been on the Hardy and all the time on 99 now on Grand Parkway, they are sitting by the along the bridges and stuff, just waiting to drill your ass.
One time I drove down here for work, and I passed 5 constables on the toll road. Now, on the Hardy, it's 20 miles long. There was a constable every 4 miles on the... I'm like, what are you doing?
Might have to make your quota.
I guess. It was probably the beginning of the month. Yeah. Who knows? USA Mike said that lady cop probably pulled me over because she thought I was black. That's not how it works.
All right, we'll continue to talk about being pulled over and other things. Charlie Pillow is going to join us at 1:30, take us up till 2. So we'll kick it around with Charles a little bit. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now. I get all my furniture at Gallery, and no, not because I get a deal. It's because they have great, solid wood American-made furniture. Their leather furniture is fantastic. But all their furniture is very fairly priced. You're going to get a good deal on great furniture. It's going to last, and everything that they say they're going to do, they do. That means that you're going to buy today, you're going to get it by tonight. That's just the way they do business, with no back order slips. It's all American made wood. It's all going to be buy today. Customer service is fantastic. So you buy today, you get it tonight, and when it's delivered, you're like, well, I don't really want that couch anymore, and I'd really like to get that out to the curb. They'll move out what you want moved out. They'll move furniture to other rooms that you want to spread out, and then they'll move the new furniture in. It's part of the way they do business. So everything that Max says is not just a marketing slogan. It's a way they do business. They have 3 locations in the Houston area, Grand Parkway between Sugar Land and Katy, but don't speed. They also have Post Oak right there in the Galleria, and the mainstay, I-45 North exit, Tidwell Parker, both ways. In any of the 3 locations, Mac has great sales staff personnel standing by, going to take care of you, ask you questions, talk to you about financing and the way you want to pay, and make sure that it is a painless experience, that you get furniture that you want and you need. So take my advice. Go see Gallery Furniture, because as Max says, the other thing that's very true is Gallery really will save you money.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, "Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee-deep in hour number 1 of the 3-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. Joining us, as he does on Mondays and Fridays, is Charlie Pulillo from our sister station, SportsMap 94.1 FM, where he hosts The Charlie Pulillo Show from 11 to 1. And I was listening to The Charlie Pulillo Show on the way in today, and he was talking about the ridiculously dumb move by the Big Ten to move their tournament up a week so they could play it in Madison Square Garden, because I guess it's just one of those things that you want to do. And the first 2 games on the schedule at the Garden, the secondary market was going for $1.50 a ticket.
Who says New York is overpriced?
Good Lord.
That just shows you no one cares.
Just dumb, exactly. So on the flip side, your Astros for opening weekend are selling their tickets. Individual tickets went on sale today. And we want to know if you guys want to call in. We want to get your feedback on if you ever tried to buy tickets online. And if you do, I know Fred and AJ were talking about this on the Blitz the other day. The fact that you're trying to do the more convenient thing, you're not having to go to the ticket booth. You're trying to save time and their time as well to get the tickets. And all these fees that they get that are associated with it are just so ridiculous that you end up paying more than you would if you just walked up and bought a ticket. So if you want to join in the conversation, we'd like to get your feedback on if you've done any of that, if that's happened to you, if it ticks you off. And then, of course, if you're looking forward to, you know, getting and probably supporting your team more so this year because you're the world champions in the Astros.
Now, it's like rental cars.
Did they raise the prices on the tickets this year?
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense.
And we've already covered that it's not an opening day anymore. It's an opening weekend with one day the banner ceremony, the next day the rings, the next day the quote-unquote official opening day.
And then it's championship weekend after that.
God. That's so silly.
They got the uniforms they're only wearing for the opening weekend with the gold sparkly.
First 2 days. Hey, you're going to
lettering.
Tap this cow for every drop of milk you can.
I suppose so. In a way, I don't begrudge them because, let's face it, it's not easy to get to this point. But at the same time, man, you had 4,000 to 6,000 people that sat through 100 lost seasons. I hope you at least pulled up the list of season ticket holders in those years and gave them some sort of discount or something, because I would, if I was a season ticket holder and sat through that, and then now you, I would be like, nah, you owe me, bro. I paid full price for 100 lost season.
Anyone who can prove they attended, say, more than 3 games in 2011 should get a ring.
That's a good.
Yes. And actually, on the Saturday of championship weekend, not to be confused with opening night banner, second opening night rings, and then the Wednesday afternoon game is something. Championship weekend is after that. Friday night is replica trophy night. So those giveaways, these are pretty cool, actually. And then Saturday's replica ring night.
I was about to say,
first,
is that the
10,000 or
you
something.
Get that you can wear?
And I think, or is we it talked just about like this in before. A box? It's easy to spend other people's money. But the stadium holds 40,000. If you're going all out on these rings, and credit to Jim Crane, Major League Baseball, you can speak to this.
Yeah.
The league covers a certain number of rings or a certain amount of money toward rings, right? And then if you want to go beyond that.
The keyword is the actual ring.
Okay. The team has to pick up the first tier ring, and then there's the second tier ring. But my understanding is every member of the Astros organization is getting a ring. Now, how many of those are the same that the first 10 will get on Saturday night?
So Aoki's going to get
one? He's getting a real ring.
Because he played.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Since I've been through all this.
Crew people, every receptionist.
Really?
This is the kicker. Okay?
Oh, see, now we're getting back to that again. I know we've argued about this before.
Do they have to sign their lives away?
I have a friend of mine who now works in the entertainment industry, who worked for us when we won the championships, the back-to-backs. And he saw some of the rings, and he's like, wow, the ring we got in anything like that. And someone had to break the bubble and go, the ring you got is got cubic zirconia too. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But the way they did it, and again, the giveaway, even from a giveaway perspective, the giveaways, they want to keep it to like $3 or $4 or less. So if you think you're getting a great ring, when you get the Comets gave away rings, the Rockets gave away rings to everyone that walked through the doors during those days of those games with those celebrations, those are going to be something you could put a quarter in a dime store machine and turn the crank and get, you know,
But to his point, those things probably cost 3 cents to make in China.
Right.
And
so
you can't give out 40,000 of them? You
so
only
the
got
employees,
10,000?
Because these rings just have gotten bigger sponsor. And bigger. The team, the coaching staff, the people on the baseball side probably all get the ring. Each ring is valued at $10,000, I think. I mean, they are big time. And then depending on your status in the front office and how you treat broadcasters, I know when the Rockets did it, the broadcasters got real ones. And everybody in the front office from director down got the fake ones.
So you got a fake one?
And the vice president, with the cubic zirconia in it. Yeah. And then the vice presidents and up got real ones. Yeah.
Huh. But you weren't broadcasting at
the
time?
No, not back then. I was overseeing the department, but I wasn't a broadcaster, which was a screw job.
So were you pissed? Were you pissed when you found out?
You're so euphoric that you've won it, and especially because in the early years, we only had like 13 people in the front office, that you've busted your butt morning, noon, and night. You just want to celebrate, but, and they don't tell you right off the top either. And then about midsummer, they go, hey, by the way, we're going to fit you for that ring, but you don't know.
So email was just about starting back then, right? Was it a thing? Was it an inter-office memo? Did you actually drop a letter on someone's desk?
The mailbox.
Did you think about faking a letter? Hey, Gene, we're cutting back this year. So just in case you're thinking of pawning the second one, you're going to be getting the cubic zirconium version?
Well, Gene was the guy that people like to take. You know, in the lore of things, there's been plenty of times that Gene Peterson was the butt of a joke because he was so intense about getting the same stuff. And like as the story goes, one time Gino was always sitting in the front of the bus trying to listen too intently to everything that the coaching staff and the general manager were saying. So one day, I think it was Fitch, set it up to where Gino was going to be eavesdropping, and they were going to talking about when they get to back to the office that everybody's going to get a car except for the broadcasters. And Gino, when they got back, got to the office before anybody, went right into the president's office or maybe the owner's office and lit them up. And the owner, I think it was Charlie Thomas, looked at him and was like, what are you talking about? And he came out and they were all waiting for him. And they were laughing.
That's great.
But yeah, back in the day when I first started with the Rockets, in order to get your phone messages, you had to go to the front desk and there was a little wheel that spun around with little pink note slips. Yeah. And that's where you got your phone messages. Of who
while
called
you were out.
Yeah, while you were out, now, these people called for you.
Now, I don't want to be nitpicky, but you did say when we won a championship.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes back to my argument.
You got an argument. I got a point on it.
Guys in the front office didn't win any championships. You were in charge of putting play-by-play on air, whether it was radio or TV, but you were in charge of making sure that happened. So you were taking what was going on the floor to win championships and letting the people see it. Just like the accountant. She's just counting the money that everybody's making or bringing in. Or like, why? I don't understand why.
What did Les Alexander do?
He owns it. That's different.
Is it?
Because without the owner, like without Joel, the Rockets are still playing. Without the accountant, they are still like.
But it has
no material impact on the floor. Les Alexander's impact on the floor is paying the salaries to get the players on the floor. So to me, he's a contributor because he's paying.
Yeah, but who signed Joel's check?
Les Alexander.
Who signed Hakeem Olajuwon's check?
Les Alexander.
Well, we're on the same team.
No,
I hate it on the air. I've never been a fan of we from broadcasting.
No, but that's not
that.
Even
especially
that.
Especially professionally.
But that's not, I'm not saying that. Joel, I've told him, you absolutely should say we when you talk Rockets. Just like if you went to Syracuse and you're talking Syracuse basketball, you absolutely should say we. My point is that people in the front office of a sports organization shouldn't necessarily be getting a ring just because they're part of the organization.
Now, my counter to that in a couple of ways, aside from what you said, is, for one, what we did back then, it was a family. Like, I was allowed in every team meeting. Rudy left me everywhere. We were allowed. And, of course, with the different ownership and the different people in charge, it changed drastically. And it's more of big business now. But what you're taking
well,
out
not
of that
anymore,
equation,
right?
What's I'm saying, it's not that way anymore, except for those two guys that got to go everywhere in the locker room and touch everything. But the other thing is, The big problem in this is what you don't touch on an everyday basis is, the players played the games. But in the process of doing that, the players needed their checks. The players might need help finding an apartment or a car. Players might want broadcast or get on an interview or do certain things. And so we all were in it together to help each other out.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the support system that exists within the Rockets organization or any sports organization. I understand how business works. I realize you have to have accountants and you have to have assistants, and you have to have directors, and you have to have all that.
Michael Jordan's boys should have gotten one? Because also, the other thing is the players are enabled to buy or get, if the organization so desires to help them out, extras. Like you just saw Tom Brady's family auctioned one off on eBay for $350,000.
If you're two times removed from the floor and what takes place on there, no. Coaching staff, players, absolutely. Trainers, sure.
Everything. Scouts. Every basketball guy's getting one.
Scouts, yeah. I'm with that. But like, just Tammy in accounting. Why is Tammy in accounting getting a ring?
Tammy got them.
She
their
can't
per
even
diem
make a free throw.
Checks.
Tammy in accounting shouldn't get a damn ring.
I forget after which championship it was, but the Rockets players thought it was a chintzy ring, and they went out and found a jeweler, and it was a bit scandalous in the time.
Uh-oh. And because they had a big ring ceremony aside from the Rockets ring ceremony, they all got two rings. They all got, and some of them were selling those. Wow. So, yeah, it was that was even bigger back then.
What percentage, 20 years after the fact, what percentage of the rings are actually held by the player who won a championship?
That's a question, too.
Yeah.
Murph had a depressingly low number.
Murph had to find his on eBay,
But I bet Tammy in accounting still has hers. Yeah. It's on the mantle.
Well, for Tammy in accounting, we'll continue to talk about it if you want. Otherwise, we got one segment to go with Charlie as we head up till 2 p.m. in hour number one of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's more of the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
For something to do this weekend, visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. We call The Usual Suspects on an F. Yeah, Friday, Barry, Nick, Joel, and of course joined by Charlie Palillo, as he does when he stops in down the hall on Mondays and Fridays. We were talking a little bit about the Rockets. We were talking about the championships, the rings, the back and forth, the Barry Laminack opinion that people in the front office should not get rings.
Not a popular opinion, I admit. I mean, that's fine. I'm not going to just shy away from it because nobody agrees with
me.
I don't care.
I can accept the, not the real McCoy, platinum, 24, right. Whatever. But you're anti-cubic zirconium. You get nothing and like it. What kind of spirit, I mean, esprit de corps is that?
I guess. If it's a fake one, I don't really care that much. But I just, I don't understand, like, I guess. That you have a valid point about it being an organization-wide thing. So give him a fake ring.
And it's such a rarity.
If it'll just get Tammy to be quiet, that's fine. Whatever. I don't know. I just feel like The real rings, though, who'd you say doesn't, like, do the trainers get the real rings?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah, okay. Basketball side, football side, baseball side. I mean, those people, because of the things you're talking about, because on a day-to-day basis, they're doing everything from rub downs and ice packs to making sure the uniforms are clean and traveling with them. By the way, Tony Nyla finally got credit for something the other night. I retweeted it, but if you saw it, the secret hallway and the door from the visiting team locker room in L.A. that gets there, people didn't realize because the media wasn't really in that portion of the locker room before the game. But after the game, they found out doing interviews that someone had taken caution tape and taped up the entire door and said, basically, do not enter. That's and I knew it was Tony, but he's very much their Rockets equipment manager. He's very much against being publicized at all. And today they did an article nationally on how he was the guy that thought it would be funny and it got a lot of play out of it. So that was kind of funny based on the fact that nothing happened compared to the first game.
That is funny.
See the piece locally in the paper today? It sadly validates what I've been thinking, what we've talked about some here. Through the All-Star break, Rockets TV ratings of their own telecast, the AT&T Sportsnet stuff, down 20%.
Ridiculous.
This season.
Really?
Now, you don't have to park. You know, because Nick and I have gotten crapped on because of the fact that we've talked about on social media when people don't get in their seats until halftime. But all the excuses are out the window. The kids having to go to school, everything. You can sit down in your living room at any time and watch the game. 20% down ratings.
It blew me away.
For a team that has the record that they have, the number one record in basketball.
It's the best team they've ever had. Regular season edition, but we're in the regular season. 93-94, no one knew halfway through for sure they were going to win the championship. I doubt their ratings were down 20% that season. And they won 55 the year before that. It's amazing to me. The first 2 weeks, I'll cut a pass. The Astros are in the league championship series and then the World Series. So those nights, who's watching the Rockets? But after that, right, they were 25-4. They've kicked ass from the start of the season.
Playing big down road 20%. Games.
The Spurs have their worst team in 20 years. Their ratings are up. The Rockets have their best regular season team ever, and they're down 20%.
You want the?
It's a flaming.
It's a baseball town, Charlie. It's a baseball town, Charlie.
Astros ratings were up 9% last season.
That's
9.
It? That's
you
terrible.
You want the corporate response?
Get your
to that,
crap
Charlie?
Together, Houston.
The corporate response is, well, we've had an influx of games on national TV where we've had so many that we have to share broadcasts on the road, sometimes with ESPN, sometimes with TNT.
It's fair.
And it takes
it's a
away.
Factor, but I don't recall the Rockets never being on national last year.
No.
But they're maxed out this year. They'll
since
have like
I've
25.
Been with the team, my last 5 years, I think, we almost maxed out every year. Every year because of Yao, because of the exposure, because of everything that they had, because they had good teams. There's a maximum amount of exposures every team can have. And then if you go over that, then you have to allow, even though it's a national game, you have to allow the local team to do it too. But the Rockets almost every year, it's like between, I think it's up in the upper 20s to low 30s. The Rockets are always in the 27, 28 national exposure games.
And I will say that, now I'm not a Rockets fan, Red Rowdy type. It's all about the Rockets, period. But if it's a simulcast, the Rockets local telecast of a TNT game or an ESPN game, I go with the national just to get the national perspective because
too.
I'm going to catch the Rockets broadcast right. 60 times per year or whatever it is. So, and
I go back and forth,
against
but I do want to hear
I'm not
that
a big Mark Jones guy, but I'm not going to not watch because it's Mark Jones and Hubie Brown. I go, and so it's a factor, but guess what? It's not as if San Antonio's never on ESPN or TNT. And by Spurs standards this season, they suck. Mm-hmm. Their ratings are up. The Rockets' ratings are down 20%. This is not a knock on the Rockets. This is a knock on Houston, the basketball town.
Yeah, well,
but hey, you know what? It's not 71 degrees and we're in shorts and golf shirts if we're in Boston or Philadelphia or Chicago.
I'm kind of the... I want to see who's broadcasting the games on ESPN or TNT. Like what crew they have. And also, what crew is broadcasting the Houston games will make a difference for me whether I'll switch over or stay. So I'm pretty, because it does get old hearing the same guys say the same cliche stuff over and over.
I go back and forth because I do want to hear from an analyst's perspective on the national side what they're thinking as opposed to just the local perspective and kind of the team speak. But before we let you go, let's get Garrick in here. He was waiting. He wants to talk a little Rockets. Let's see what we got. Garrick, what's up?
Hey, so I worked for the Rockets from 06 to 07 and 07 to 08.
Did you know Joel?
Clutch the Bear. So I was part of his clutch out of control crowd, whatever. We went up in the upper bowl, starting chance and stuff. And when we made the playoffs that year, the lady that hired me on, she goes, hey, you know, if the Rockets win at all, you get a ring. And to be honest with you, I don't care if it was a POS or if it was the real deal. I would have cherished that ring no matter what, you know, because I was there the whole time, you know. I was there during the 22-game win streak, you know. It was a lot of fun, and I was looking forward to that ring. And screw the Utah Jazz. They suck. I hate them.
All right. Appreciate the call,
Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying if I wasn't inside the organization and they said, hey, you're going to get a ring if they win a championship, that I wouldn't be like, that's great. And
no
I'm
one
sure,
should feel like they're getting screwed
it down?
If they don't get one.
Yes. Yeah, if he would have not gotten one, I wouldn't be like, you didn't get screwed, homie. Like you.
But would you turn it down if they came to you and said, hey,
no,
Barry?
No, of course not. That would be, anyone that would tell you they would is lying to you.
Would you sell it?
Not the fake one, no. I would put it in a box and tell people it was real.
Okay.
Ro Pimpin had a point. He said, does not being on regular TV have a huge effect? I remember 20Vision back in the day had all the Rockets games. And now it's on AT&T Sportsnet, which you can't get on Dish and you can't get on Xfinity.
But that was true last year. So that's apple to apple.
Right.
They're down 20% from last season to this. And with a handful of games here and there accepted, nobody's local TV package is on over the air television. All the money's in the regional where you get the subscriber base and so forth.
And if
forth.
You're lucky enough to do what they couldn't pull off with CSN, if you're a team that has a stake in the actual network,
right.
You get more than just the rights fee. You're rolling in it and you have control over auxiliary programming, things like that. I produced those games back from 20Vision on. Our ratings over the air for the championship years were astronomical.
That was the only thing anybody watched on Channel 20.
Yeah, exactly right.
In Arsenio Hall.
It was,
or
like
was he 26?
Through the roof from an NBA perspective and amongst teams in the league's history, some of the greatest ratings of all time.
Yeah.
And
but
Houston as a market for whatever combination of factors.
I feel like that was just Joel, by the way, validating his ring by saying it was the best
ring. I'm not
ratings
trying to validate ever. A ring. They gave, yeah, they gave it to me and I kept it.
That Houston is among the city's larger markets with the highest percentage of people that do not have cable, do
True.
Not have satellite.
Was the
oh, really?
Worst market in the country
yeah,
for a
like
long time.
Something like 20% still,
people.
Which to us seems impossible.
20% don't have cable don't or satellite? Have,
you're going to love the terminology.
We're talking pre-cord cutting. You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Without,
it's called penetration rate.
Okay.
And the penetration rate is the worst in the country in Houston. At least it was. And Charlie's right. It was about 80% of people had the ability. 20% of people still didn't have cable.
How I guess.
Crazy.
Yeah.
crazy, right,
because
but
the Rockets get it. Sometimes and that's 20% of the people that are at least smart enough to be like, nope, priority is not cable.
But that's when went to all digital, where you used to be able to put up some rabbit ears and use your television with an antenna and still get a lot of TV stations. And then when they went all digital, it changed that.
It's funny. I'm acting baffled, but I'm sitting here thinking in my head, yeah, I have family that just got cable.
Put the tinfoil on the bunny ears.
And for a while, I thought of it as an early season quiz every year for Bill Worrell, because Paramount 20, My 20, whatever their branding was.
Well, and on
the
cable side, you went from, Prime Sports to Fox Sports to, CSN to everybody. Bill Snell, the other night, Worrell came on the air and he said, we'll be back with more of Fox Sports. And then he went back, and then he went, and they were like, and he's like, oh, yeah,
HSC.
HSC was another one. There you go. Yeah.
Home Sports Entertainment, baby.
Betty never says CSN by accident.
Yeah, right?
No. People would like to
know. That was one big accident.
All right, Charlie, have yourself a good weekend. Hope you get your softball in. We'll talk to you again on Monday. And again, you can catch Charlie's show 11 to 1 Monday through Friday on SportsMap 94.1. We'll be back with hour number two of The Usual Suspects in just mere moments right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Please
stand by. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.